thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of us getting together. We sure hope this finds you great. We're thankful that you tune into this broadcast. However you do it, on the radio, however you zero us in, make sure you say thank you for whoever's carrying this for you. If you haven't yet, leave us a 5-star rating. If you don't think we're worth 5 stars, rate someone else. But we sure do love you. Sitting just a few feet from me is Kevin. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing well, Doug.
That was a quick answer. I went to go, ahum. I had a little bit of the ahum. And he answered the 10-second version. But as we go along, we've talked about some things last week. We, you know, as we continue on post-resurrection, we talked last week about peace, about mission possible, about doubt, about belief, about divine intervention. And we find ourselves rolling from Friday with that divine intervention to God divinely his divine provision or provision. And isn't it our God great how he provides for us? Sometimes it's beyond anything we can imagine. Just this week, I had 2 or 3 people write me out of nowhere money showed up in their lives or some type of provision. And that's the God we serve. I remember years ago when Debbie and I first got saved and we moved to our first real solid church in my mind, or the first church that we were real solid in, was in Alexandria, Virginia. And I remember just as soon as we got there, as God would provide, we had a discipleship or a stewardship conference and talking about giving and faith promise and missions and those types of things. I remember I went home and I told Debbie, you know, God expects us to give 10%. And we did. And then a few months later, we had our missions thing, and I felt like God wanted us to give to missions, and we did. And a couple years went by, and I remember we were getting ready to move to New York. We were moving from Alexandria, Virginia to Watertown, New York, up to Fort Drum. And I remember I said to Debbie, I said, you know, I wish I had been better with the money and had, you know, things like for cars and things of that nature. I wish I'd been better. And she said, honey, we don't owe anybody a dime. And I said, baby, I said, what's happened over the last 2 years? We owed $30,000. And she said, I know. Now we have $10,000 in the bank. And isn't that the way God provides when we trust him? And yeah. The Bible tells us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you know the reality of that verse? People even buy cups that say, people who translate that verse wrong. I went into the Greek and exegetically went through every word. You know what this Bible verse is saying? God's going to take care of you. He's going to supply every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Mm. Those people get the cups. They're the ones who failed out of the 4-year program at Bible college, so they got a 3-year degree, or they stopped taking Greek, or whatever the case may be. God's going to provide for you. And then then God reminds us over in Hebrews 13, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then that great verse in 2 Corinthians 9, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an insufficiency, all things may abound in every good work. You know what God's telling us today? I got you. I got your provision. I got your back. We all remember that verse, don't we? That psalm. I'm trying to think of it, Kevin. And I've never seen the seed forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know what God's saying? Got your back. Mm. I'll provide for you. You trust me? You believe in me? You got that belief? I'll intervene in your life. I'll provide, Kevin, is what God's saying.
Yeah. What a great provider. God is so faithful to take care of things that that we need, you know, provision. He provide. Pro has to do with forwardness. In fact, I love the verse in Genesis 22, the passage of Abraham's traumatic test where God said, take your son Isaac, your only son whom thou lovest, and offer him for an offering there on one of the mountains that I shall tell thee of. And so we went up to something, it's Mount Calvary, but he went up into a mountain there in the promised land that they had not yet inherited, and was getting ready to slay his son, and the Lord came through and said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. This is verse 14. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now we need to remember that Abraham had a promise from God that of his seed it would be like the sand of the sea. And the promised seed was Isaac. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he had this thing to go on, but like the disciples of Jesus after the cross incident, they were left saying, huh? Or like John the Baptist when he was in prison said, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? There's times where God puts us through a test, Doug, where we say, did I look at all this wrong? You know, kind of like Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. Maybe we were thinking wrong about this whole thing. Maybe God really was holding some things out on us, or maybe we just got it wrong, weren't listening right. But Abraham was wonderfully provided this lamb, because verse 13 says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went out of went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So this is a wonderful example of God providing, saying, look, you're in the middle of the worst trauma ever. I got this. You're not going to have to lose your son. But I'm glad you're willing. And it's been said that God didn't want Abraham's son. God wanted Abraham. And he got Abraham. And he said in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And that Jehovah Jireh literally means the Lord shall see, or I've heard it been said that the gist of it is the Lord will see to it. And so if God's called you to do this, don't worry. You're going to be able to do it. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. And so we take it to mean the Lord will provide. And that's so true. You know, God will provide. Years ago, we had a motorhome breakdown, a bus breakdown. We had a converted Trailways bus in Canada. We had $200 to our name, which is about enough diesel to get us to the next stop. It was lean times. We had a ton of kids at home. I think we had five of them at home, six of them at home, and traveling this bus. And anyway, we got an hour and a half into Canada, across the line, and the thing blew up. The engine blew up. It was just a bad day. And we're on the side of the road. We had to spend the night on the shoulder, and it's cheaper than a hotel. We're out in the middle of nowhere in Canada. Long story short, God provided. It was a $20,000 bill. We got it fixed in short order by a mechanic. Now, I had to work my tail off to make it happen. I had to bring a bunch of people, you know, had to bring a guy up that helped missionaries. But long story short, I paid him. I paid the parts. Everything was just provided. God took care of it. My mother, bless her heart, wanted to bless my ministry at the time. And so when I called her and I said, hey, Mom, pray for me, we're broke down in Canada, she said, you know what, I've been praying about sending $5,000 anyway to you. So what a blessing. God was on time.
My God, boy, he's got that figured out. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not. We've said that a few times as we went through these, haven't we? We trust God even in the hard times, even when the motor's blown up and you got six kids on the side of the street and everybody's saying, Dad, what are we going to do? And you're, hey, we're still in the prayer mode right now. It's okay. What we're going to do is we're going to trust God. And boy, God has a way of doing things. It's just crazy. It's beyond anything I can think of. I remember being on deputation, had a Chrysler minivan, was up in Vermont. There's a guy in the church that said, hey, brother, let me change your oil. Let me grab your keys. And that night, he brought back a sob and gave me the keys and said, brother, I got to wait for an exhaust manifold. He said, I had to put a part in your transmission. I got some struts on the way in. And he just totally went through my van and probably did what would have cost me $6,000 or $7,000. I remember we got in that van to take off and it flowed down the road. I mean, it was like brand new Chrysler minivan boat and alignment, tires. shock struts, and man, I'm telling you, God's provision, it's better than anything we can expect. It's better than anything we can hope for. You know, it's just, we trust in God and we trust in His provision. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We know that through this, and those of us in the ministry, we've been there, haven't we? A friend of mine, Jeff Stewart, sat in a train station one time in the Czech Republic and had no money to ride the train. And some people went by and said, "Are you American? Are you a missionary?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." And they said, "Hey, would you mind if we gave you a few hundred euro?" And I mean, just gave it to him. He didn't say a word. And that's how God works. We serve that kind of a God, folks. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I got God's provision. I'm glad that I can trust in God's provision. And I'm glad, folks, that even in the midst of our craziness, even in the midst of our upside downness, God provides. And folks, we serve that God. Hey, we'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, as we continue to move along, talking about how God supplies our need, we find ourselves in the verse-by-verse study, looking at the life of Christ. We're in the book of John, chapter 21, verses 7 through 11. And the Bible says, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter," and we know that's John. We're actually in the book of John. "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that, remember, all the fish came. He's up on shore. Simon Peter is blown away at this point. "That is the Lord." He girt his fish's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He was so happy that the Lord was there, he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes, all those fishes dragging behind that boat. As soon as they come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish there laid therein. And bread, our God always provides. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net and land full of great fishes, not just fishes, great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet there was not the net broken. So here's these heavy, great fishes. Using that term great brings you to a different level. These big, huge fish, these fish that Kevin and I would take a picture of ourselves with a scale holding if we caught them down here on the lake and make it our Facebook post, that the whole net's full of them, because that's how God provides. He provides more than we expect. He provides more. And so there they are. They're recognizing Christ, and John's like, "That's Christ." And Peter, he hears that. And he quickly dresses himself. He jumps in the sea to swim to Jesus. And that reflects his eagerness and his love for Christ. You know, we should want to swim to Jesus. And the catch, I mean, here they are dragging it behind the boat. Jesus' preparation, he's got the fire going. He's got bread out there. And I'm telling you, the bread that Christ gives you, man, it's the bread of life there. And then Peter's obedience when he listened to the instruction, those are things that come to my mind. But, folks, it's important. When God provides the provision, we need to recognize it's from Christ. Recognition's important when it comes to provision. And John immediately recognized, hey, that's Christ. You know, it's okay to eagerly respond to Christ. Folks, I can't tell you, I was in those frozen, chosen type of environments in my life where I chose just to sit there. Now, I'm just so excited about serving God. I tell people about it.
Amen.
I'm so excited about serving God, I invite them to church. And you know, again, looking at God's miraculous provision, just like Kevin with that bus up there in Canada, I think we were in that same church. I fell in that lake swimming up there by that church. We've talked about that before. And then Jesus' care and preparation for them. And folks, I got to tell you, Jesus has prepared things for us. He's prepared a path for us. He's lit that path for us. But so often we get caught up and we don't have peace. We have doubt. You know, our minds are crazy. We don't step out, believe in his intervention, believe in his provision. We don't step out with great belief. We step out with doubt. And folks, this is that time, Kevin, where we trust in his provision and we step out with an eagerness and we recognize what God's doing.
Yeah, we step out and then we recognize that God's up to something. The fact is that Jesus Christ, when he came to the shore of the ocean here, you know, Sea of Tiberias, he said, you know, I just love that. I was just reading it again. Children, have you any meat? We covered that yesterday. But, you know, kids, hey, kids, do you have any food?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why are they fishing? They're fishing because they're hungry. They want some food. And they're not doing too well at it. And Jesus is like, okay, hold on, guys. Do you got the thing that you need right now? Do you have it? No, I don't have it. And so he said, all right, go ahead and toss the net on the other side of the ship. And, you know, the picture of, you know, a cutaway of the boat with the ocean there, if you could see the fish, that school of fish must have been massive, and it must have been hanging out on the right side of the ship, because when they tossed the net down there, unlike the left side of the ship, they got a huge, huge catch. And it's so, it's, again, the fact that the Lord does things for purpose. And Jesus knew that Peter was the one who had failed the Lord. And here he was going from failure and weeping bitterly when Jesus turned and looked at him, and then going back into a backslidden state again. Let me tell you, trauma comes in waves, and backsliding comes in waves. Oh, listen, when we go through junk, we don't have just like one big flop and then one big restoration. Sometimes it's we deny the Lord in our heart, and or we say something unadvisedly. Whatever it is, we get it right, we weep bitterly, and then we mess up again. And it takes stages. So this is the Lord. He's going to meet Peter there and walk along the ocean. But the first appearance of Jesus at this ocean scenario was cast the net, and he brings up this miraculous draft of fish. And it's just, I know, designed to make Peter remember his salvation experience. In Luke 5:8, it says, Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all the night. This is a different time. This is before Peter began following Christ. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We had this done. They had enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And I know that was reminiscent in Peter's mind when the Lord did this again, of the time where he was like, you know what, I am so stupid. This Savior, I need to follow him. And he left everything. In a Peter-esque way, in a good kind of impetuousness, he left everything and followed him, and went gung-ho for Jesus, and then denied him in his trauma of the watching the crucifixion, denied him, and then again now backslid, and was just going through waves of turmoil in his heart. And Jesus showed up and said, hey, let's kind of repeat the initial thing. Remember when you met me there by the side of the shore? Remember you followed me? Go ahead and let's see that happen again. And let's kind of begin. You don't need saved again, but let's just go back to the elementary thing and start following me in trust and repentance again.
Yeah, that's some pretty great stuff. And, you know, I can't help but go back to the feeding of the 5,000, just some loaves and some little fish. You know, miracle. The symbolism of fish and bread. It's funny how you were thinking the same thing. I was sitting here as you were talking, and I was immediately going back to what God showed him. Remember those thousands of people out there?
Yeah.
Remember them? I could feed them. I could feed you guys. Do you remember all? And, boy, doesn't God show us that sometimes? Boy, doesn't God come along and say, hey, knucklehead, I've taken care of you so many times. I remember where you came from, and I forgave all that stuff. Now, will you just follow me? Will you just trust me? Will you just step out And so often, folks, so often I'm guilty of this. And if it seems like I'm slapping at any, I want you to know that I'm thinking about myself here. And so often in my life, I forget about the provision God has done for me. I forget about those miraculous things he's done in my life. And you know what God wants us to remember? And we're steeped with trauma. I get it. You know, chances are, if you're listening to this radio program, there's a couple things on your heart that you've been hurt. All right, you've got trauma, you've been through things, you goofed up, you probably had a nasty life somewhere along the way if you're like me, or just somebody nasty came along and messed up your life. And you know, sometimes remind yourself, God, look what you took me from. God, you've forgiven all that. You've cleaned me white as snow. Now, God, let me serve you in a way that I trust in your provision. And God, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to watch you provide. I'm going to watch you change my family. I'm going to watch you change my life. I'm going to watch you do a work in my life. I think that's what provision's all about. I think that's what God did in their life. They're dragging the fish behind the boat. Peter was out there naked with just a smock on fishing, which is kind of gross to me. But, man, he jumps in there. God, he wanted to wrap his arms around God. Folks, have you been there? That's where I want to be today. We sure do love you. Come on back tomorrow. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.